The sermon title today is Victorious Christian Living. How do we live a life of victory? How do we live a life of victory? Come with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians, chapter number 1, verse number 9 and 10. The Bible says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." I love God because today it aligns with that song that we sung, Spirit of Revelation, reveal this to us. And I pray that God will allow the Holy Spirit of God to bring this revelation knowledge to us, that we may have understanding. The Bible says, in all things, gain understanding. Amen. So Paul is speaking to the church at Colossae, and he says to them, "I desire that you may be able to understand, that you may have to understanding, that the knowledge of God, that the Holy Spirit of God will bring this truth to you so that you have understanding." And he says, the reason is so that you may be able to walk worthy of your calling. To walk worthy of your calling, which means if the Bible says walking worthy of your calling, it means that there is a chance or there is another walk that is not worthy of the calling. Praise God. You see, you are called as a son. You are called as a prince. You are called as a king. But many of us walk lives and through life as paupers. Today, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here by the grace of God to have, hopefully, to be able to minister into your spirit the truth of who you truly are in Christ Jesus. Because you see, God has called you. You are not, the Bible says, "I have chosen you, you did not choose me." Which means that it is not you that woke up and said, "You know, I desire Christianity." It is the Lord that looks out and sees you, and he picks you and he says, "I have picked you. I have chosen you." Which means that if he's choosing you, he has got a purpose for you. Now, if we know God, if we understand who God is, then we understand that God does not just pick people. He does not do anything aimlessly. Praise God. God does not do anything aimlessly. He's not just going to up and then choose you for nothing. There is no anointed couch potatoes. Praise God. He chooses you, he anoints you, and then he has got a purpose. He calls you to a different dimension. And that is that part where you're walking worth of the call that is upon your life. So he has called you, and what I am praying this morning is the spirit of understanding, that he will bring it into your heart, that he has called me for a purpose. He has called me for a divine call, a divine purpose, and I have to walk in a way that meets up with what I have been called to be. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Say amen. Amen. So you have been called. You have been called into somewhere. You have to start operating like somebody who is in the somewhere. Praise God. And that is what I desire, that the Spirit of God will be able to reveal to us today. That you are not single. That you have been called. And because you have been called, there is a plan for you. And because there is a plan, you can walk as if you have been called. I wrote in your bulletin that the devil wants to make your life, for you at least, seem so inconsequential. It seems so insignificant is the target of the enemy. He wants to point out to you that you are such a speck. You know, there is this book I was reading, and the author of the book refers us to this website where he talks about the galaxies. And the way he's done on that video, he has brought to fact the galaxies that we can be able to see, that people on earth can see using the biggest thank you, that one. Using the biggest telescope that existed, he's brought this to to sight, and he shows it, and he, in this video, they zoom it in. They zoom into the, I think I'll show that video next week. They zoom in, and then they go to the trillions and the trillions of galaxies, and he says, then he zooms it back out and shows what Earth is compared to the galaxies in the universe. And it turns out our galaxy is just a period. And that is our solar system. It is just a period compared to all the trillions of galaxies out there. And so as he does that, I believe that in my heart that the enemy has a way of making us seem like that. Seemingly like, listen, people, as there's 7 billion people on this earth, why would God care about me? But the way you're looking at it is very wrong. The way you should be looking at it is, there is 7 billion people on this earth. How wonderful that God is looking at me. Because what the enemy does, he twists the truth. Remember the slide that we saw, that there is truth in there somewhere, but he has got all these jumbled up things that hide the truth from us, hide whatever it is, twists the truth so that we are not able to see ourselves with the clarity that God wants us to see ourselves. I wrote in your bulletin that I came here with only one responsibility. I was praying yesterday as I was driving, and I was like, God help me that I may be of an encouragement to someone today on this Sunday morning, to be able to tell you that you are important. Period. If I do not preach anything again today, I want you to know that you are important, that you are vital. You are important. The Bible says in the next verse, he says, you are the apple of God's eye in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse number 10. The Bible says, he found him in a desert land, and in a waste, howling wilderness, he led him. I love that part where he leads. So he finds you in the wilderness, in the place unknown, in the place of insignificance. Ezekiel puts it, he says, it's called the... Man, today I can't think. He says, I found you by the pool of your own blood. Ezekiel says, then I picked you from the nothingness, from the mark your umbilical cord had not even, it says the allegory of the woman. He says, I cut the umbilical cord, I cleaned you up. Then I raised you. I provided for you. God has found us in the place unknown. He says, I have found you in the deserted places, in the mess, in the muck of this world, in the desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He led him and he instructed him. And then the Bible says he kept him as the apple of his eye. Listen. Somewhere else the Bible says, whoever touches you touches the very apple of my eye. Do you know what the apple of the eye is? See that center part of your eye? If somebody were to go touch it, the first thing that you do is... In fact, it's reflex action. We protect the apple of our eye. Listen, you are so important to God that you are like the center of his eye. He will do everything to protect the center of his eye. Time is well spent today, but we are going to cover this. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. Jeremiah, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Again, you are important. The devil does not want you to see this, because he knows the moment that you discover what power there is that is inside you, that there is nothing that can stop you. The reason he fights you, the reason he makes you feel small, is because he knows of the bigness in you. The next verse really quick. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after the glory has sent unto me the nations which spoiled you, for that he that touches you touches the apple. Sorry, I say that's Zechariah chapter 2 verse number 8 and 9. Let's go to the next one
really quick. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Let's go to the next one. God does not consult your past to create your future. I wanted to say that. Again, you can write that down. God does not consult your past to create your future. You are so important. Whenever we show up to Jesus, and I think I've written this somewhere in front, Jesus does not ask us, where have you been? There is no account in the Bible where they brought somebody to Jesus and Jesus was like, dude, where were you? What have you done? Jesus Christ, the Bible says that behold, his arms are open. They are wide open. He wants to receive you. What he asks instead is, what can I do with you to make you into the person you were originally created to be? He's not looking at our past. You know, we live in a time, I wanted to address this as a church. Listen, we are in the news, they're talking about abortion. They're talking about the stringent abortion laws. I want to say this, as a church, as your pastor, we are pro-life, period. Which means we know that God is the one that gives life, period. And that life, he says to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew. Listen to me, child of God. People are talking about rape and they're talking about all this. Listen, before these children are formed in the womb, God knows. Something that blows my mind. And somebody asked me just this week. He asked me, I went to see one lady that was passing on, and I got a chance to minister to his son, to her son, at this particular hospital, at the hospice. And as I was talking to him, he asked me, how does God watch? How can't God stop rape? Why can't he stop it? And I looked at him and I said, well, that's a good question. I do not have the answers for that. But I know one thing. That if God allows this to happen, if he allows it, because listen to me, children of God, God has got all the power to stop it. He has got every power. He literally can cause fire to come from heaven and strike down and stop it. If he chooses to allow it, there is a purpose that one day we are going to find out in the future. There is a reason, and one day we will sit down and look back and be like, you know what, I understand why that happened. Does it excuse it? Absolutely not. But we are not going to stand and say, well, this is it. That is why as a church we say, listen, there are options. God forbid that this ever happens to you. There are options. We have adoption agencies. We have, since we've been in Wyoming, we've been supporting Heart to Heart Foundation, which is a foundation that helps parents like in situations like this. You go there and they will support you through the pregnancy. When you give birth to the church, they will, the child, they'll make sure that this child is taken care of. So there are options. Murder is not an option. It is not, we are not even supposed to be discussing it. We are supposed to say, listen. And you know, as I was thinking through this in the week, I met with somebody somewhere, and I sat down with her, and as we were talking, she said to me, both of my children, which these children, mark you, they're doing great. They're doing wonderfully. And she said to me, both of my children, the firstborn was conceived when I was unconscious. And the second one was conceived when I was too drunk to understand what was happening. And the children are living for God. What I'm trying to say to you is this. There is a way out. The church has got to stand, and we are not going to curse and condemn people. Maybe it happened to you at some point. Maybe there was something that happened and this happened. It should not put you down. We are saying, listen, we can educate each other and we can grow in the love of God. Too much of the shedding of blood, too much of the innocent blood crying out. As a church, I am pro-life. I'll say that confidently and repeatedly. We are not going to condone or say we are supporting the killing of young ones, however young they are. Did I offend? I'm sorry, not sorry. We believe in everything the Bible says. And the Bible, when it speaks of life, it speaks of life. Even it speaks to Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you, when you were still in my hands, I knew you. I had purpose for you. God has got a purpose. For every situation that happens under the sun, God has got all the controls. He has got all the right. And sometimes we may never wrap our minds around it. Why does he allow this? Why does he allow? I sat down with this man and I told him, right now, as your mother is dying, and by the way, the mother literally died a few minutes later. As your mother is dying, we are seated here. Do you know where God is seated? I said to him, he's seated in the same spot he was seated when he saw his son die. He could have stopped it. He allowed it. And I said to him, listen, God is seated in the same spot, but then he is not ignorant of your pain or of your suffering. God is going to, when Jesus Christ visits you in this hospital room, he's going to be crying. He's not showing up like, I know I'm going to raise them. I know resurrection is coming. Why are we crying? The Bible says that he shows up after Lazarus is dead and he cries with them. He understands pain. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus before Lazarus died. When he was coming down from Bethany, he knew Lazarus was dead. He knew it's been 4 days. He knew he was going to stand in front of that thing and tell them to open it and Lazarus would be walking out. But then he finds the family crying and he cries with the family, listen, if the worst has happened to you, Jesus is not coming with a cockiness. And as I say that he has a plan, it's not like a plan that is, he's so happy that you're going through this situation. He's crying even as you go through the bitterest and painful situations of your life. He understands the pain. He cries with you. And he comes beside you and he says, I want you to come with me. Listen, God will not consult your past to create your future. You might have been conceived in a mess like this. You might have been through a situation where there's a mess that happened in your life. Where, you know, the history, you don't even know your parents. You don't even know where you're from. You do not have a lineage. Maybe you are from a family of alcoholics and drunks and people that are junkies. Listen to me. God is not going to consult that to make your future. He says, behold, I have got a plan for you. A plan to make your future, to give you hope. And a future. He has got a plan into tomorrow. He has got a plan. What we want to say is step in and say, Lord, I know, but I have come. He said, step in and say, Lord, I don't understand why that had to happen, but I am here. Which means, listen, there is no excuse from your past because God is not going to look at that to create what he's creating for you. He says, I have got a plan. I wish you could understand this. I pray to God that you walk worthy of your calling from today. That you're going to say, you know, I have been called. Listen to me. The Bible says that behold, the past has gone. I believe it's the next verse. He says, behold, the past has gone. The new has come. When you give your life to Christ, that is being born again. There is no history to new. There is no yesterday to new. He says, I have chosen you today in the now. Your journey starts now. Your rebirth is today. And then he says, I'm going to take you from here towards where I want to take you because I've got a plan. He's not going to say, you know what, I know where you've been. Man, you're a mess. He says, behold, the past is gone, the new has come. He says, I am going to begin your journey in the now. This is where we begin. This, come as you are. I will start you from where you are towards your future, which is a great future, which has a, I have a plan. I wrote in your bulletin, listen, God has got a plan for you, child of God. A plan that is distinctive just for you, nobody else. Let's go to the next verse. Oh, therefore if a man be, and I said, if we are going to walk in this, if we are going to understand and walk in our calling, we're going to have to watch what we think. The Bible says, whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. It should be the next verse. It says, whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. If you look down upon yourself, if your thoughts of yourself are low, if your thoughts of yourself are messed up and broken, you shall be messed up and broken. You have to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. Because when Jesus, the Bible says, when God shows up to see Gideon, he finds Gideon hiding and he says, oh mighty warrior, come with me. When he gets you in a mess, he does not look at the mess, he looks at the potential. What can I do out of it? What can I create out of this? Remember, he first saw you when you were just dirt. Spirit of revelation. He saw you when you were just dirt. And he looks at the dirt and he goes, a beautiful girl. He looks at the dirt and he says, man, a handsome, tall, dark, and handsome man. I'm going to make him pastor for Rema. He's this dirt. Amen. Just saying. Whatsoever you think about, go to the next verse. This is what we ought to be thinking about. I'm sure I'm cutting this really, really quickly. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. These are the things to think about. Philippians chapter number 4. It says this is what to think about. It says whatsoever things. Finally, brethren, I like the word finally every time. Every time I'm reading the Bible and I come across finally. Finally means he's done. You know, when I finally say finally, which might happen tomorrow morning, you guys will be breathing a sigh of relief. Because, and then you will pay more attention because the next thing I say after finally is really important. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do we think about? What do we occupy our minds on? It is so easy for us to focus on the wrong things that you've done or the wrong things that have happened in your life. Start thinking on whatever things are happy, whatever things are of a good report, whatever things that are virtuous. Think on these things. Occupy you. Remember, whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. Which means if I'm thinking whatsoever things are true, I become a truthful person. Automatically, he says, whatever, if I'm thinking honest stuff, that's what I become. If I'm thinking pure things, I become pure. If I'm thinking things of good report or praiseworthy things, that is what I become. Walk worthy of your calling, which means start thinking of yourself the way God thinks of you. The Bible says, it literally says this. He thinks well of you. Listen, when God is seated down on his throne. Now, this is the creator of the universe. This is the El Shaddai, the CEO of everything. And he's thinking about Dan. He's kicking back with legs up high. He's thinking about me. He's thinking only awesome stuff. Listen, the Bible says, for we have the mind of Christ. we have the mind of Christ. Why do we bog ourselves down thinking about all the mess and all the brokenness instead of investing ourselves in thinking like Christ does? He's thinking good things of me. And why am I thinking bad things of me? He just sits down and he kicks back and he's all smiling. Have you ever had a wonderful thing going on in your heart and you're just all by yourself and you're just like, that is what's happening with God. Because he's thinking about you and he thinks you're awesome. Whatsoever things are of a good praise, think ye on these matters. The second thing to watch for, if you're going to walk worthy of our calling, is watching our words. Watch your words. Somebody said, watch your thoughts, they become words. And then your words, they become actions. Your actions become habits. Then your habits become your death, pretty much. Watch your words. The Bible says the power of life and death lies in your tongue. The power of life and death lies in your tongue. I have proof for this. If you wake up in the morning, one beautiful day, a regular day, and the first thing you say, I am so tired. Just say that. You don't have to do anything. Just wake up on a normal day and just say these words. I'm so tired today. Man, your body will respond to those words just like that. You know why? Because God created you in his image. You are a creator. Spirit of revelation, open my eyes to see. You are a creator. When you say things, they become. When you speak things, they be. When you say, the power of life and death, Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21, lies in your tongue. You can either declare things alive or dead. That is why Jesus says, if you say to the mountain, be thou moved and cast into the ocean, it shall do that. So when you wake up in the morning and you say to the mountain yesterday, you're like, what are you still doing here? Mountain? Because they will respond to everything that you say. Your body will respond to what you're saying. Your personality will respond to what you're saying. Watch your words. Because you have got the power inside you to create. So if you're creating this persona of a great and awesome and honorable God loving, God living for person, you will become that by saying it and saying it until you become it. Because as you say, you build, as you say, you create, as you say, you create. So create the person that God would admire. Create the person by your words. Speak that person into being. Do you know that it's only humans that have a tongue that can speak? Did you know that? Of all of God's creation, we are the only ones that can articulate. The reason is because we have been created in his image. We can create things. Speak your world into being. What kind of world do you want? You wake up in the morning complaining continuously about your job. Guess what? It's going to suck. You wake up in the morning complaining about your colleague. They become that. I literally say people become what you speak about them in their absentia. If I've never met Carl and I meet you and you're singing all praises about Carl, it doesn't matter how bad Carl is. When I come, I'll see all the good stuff that you said about Carl. Because you create. If I tell you, man, you don't want to hang around that sister. It doesn't matter how wonderful. She will come and sing for you and bring food and smile all the time. And you'll just see all the bad sides of her. We create with our tongue. Watch what you say. If you're going to walk worthy of your calling, you're going to have to watch the things that come out of your mouth. And I suggest this strongly. Speak the word and you'll be safe. Speak the word because the word is the will. When you speak the will of God, you speak everything that is in there. You're creating the world that God intended for there to be. Ah, come on. That's nice. You need to write that down. When you speak the word, if truly your tongue can create, and you speak the word, you are bringing the word from the scriptures into reality. The word becomes your reality now. Because that's what you're speaking. If everything you say you're creating, then it means every time you speak the word, it becomes. And then one day you woke up and you're living in the Bible, praise God. Because you turn around and you see a sick person and you say, you know what? You're healed because of the work that Jesus did. And guess what? They get healed. Isn't that living in the Bible? You turn around and you see somebody in need and you say, you know what? I'm going to provide this food for you. And as you provide for them, they smile. And then they smile and they make their husband smile and you restore their marriage. Listen, what you've done is you've done a work for the kingdom. You're living in the Bible. As you speak the word, you create the world. The world that God intended there to be. Walk worthy of your calling. Last thing that you watch for. Go to the next one. We're just about to finish, finally. Oh, we already quoted this, so we can move on. Numbers chapter number 13, verse 33. The Bible says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. The Bible says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. Please underline that in your Bible. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. In our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Listen, the way we view ourselves determines the way the world views you. Our attitudes towards who we are is the attitude that the world is going to have towards you. So you're watching your view, you're watching yourself view. How do you see yourselves? You know, these are the children of Israel. They've been sent forward to do a spying work in the promised land. And the Bible says they go there and they see the sons of Anak. Now, these were giants. They were huge people. And the Bible says that the children of Israel, at least these 10 of them, they viewed themselves as grasshoppers. They, you know, in comparison to the giants, they looked at themselves and they saw themselves so tiny. And the giants, because of their self-view, the giants saw them like they were seeing themselves. Have you ever seen this picture of a cat looking in a mirror and it sees a lion? That's what I'm driving at. That it doesn't matter your circumstance, you have to change the way you view yourself. You have to start walking strong. You have to start walking worthy of your calling. You have to start walking like as if you own the world. Because guess what? The Bible says that the world is Christ and Christ is, and we are His. Which means everything in here is also ours by design of God. Which means you're walking out of here strong and, you know what, shoulder high, because you know, and you know. If you know, you know. I am the Son of God. I have been forgiven. The Bible says your spirit testifies with the Spirit of God that you are a son. You know, I'm just walking. I know, man. He knows my case. He's got it covered. I do not have to worry about tomorrow. I do not have to think about how that's going to go, because I know and I know and I know, because I see myself as a giant. Even though I might be tiny, I know what capacity is inside me. The Bible literally said that the same power that was in Christ Jesus that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You are more powerful than dynamite. You have got that power inside you. The power to call out the things that are dead as if they are alive. We call it faith. The power to call out the things that are crippled as whole. The power to call things that are not as if they were and they become. It all dwells inside you. Which means from today as a child, I walk worthy of my calling. I walk worthy of the call. Listen to me. He has chosen you. That kind of keeps me safe. If he called me and he has all this power, I really don't have to worry about it. Because it's not on me. He chose me. He was like, you know, come. Which means if he has all this power and he has called me to this office, whatever that is for you, he has got the capacity. Listen, the will of God will never lead you where his grace will not sustain you. The will of God will never lead you where his grace will not sustain you. So wherever it is he has called you, whatever it is he's called you into, he has got the capacity for you in that place. And you walk shoulder high. And you walk with a gait because you know, and you know, I belong to the King of Kings. I am a son. Nothing is going to change that, children of God. Nothing. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Do you know what nothing means? It means nothing in Greek. Absolutely nothing. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. Not your past, not your present, not the angels, not nothing. How I wish we could just arise and say, you know what? Why have I been struggling? Why have I been hustling? He's got me. He's got my back. And now I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to walk in authority. You know what authority is, even as you stand up, so we pray. Authority is when a cop is in the police trooper's car. That's authority. It doesn't matter what you're driving. If you're driving a semi and you see that car behind you with the lights and the car is this small and the man inside the car is even smaller, but because he is inside that car, because he is wearing that heart, because he has got that, he's got authority. In fact, if he stands there and says this, everybody moves to that side. That's authority. He doesn't even force you. You just know. That's what God is calling us into, a place of authority. We know we are inside the car. Ah, come on. We know that Jesus Christ is inside us and we are in him. He is in us and we are in him. We have authority. We own the universe. Which means I'm standing there in authority commanding things. You're commanding things in the spirit realm because you know you have got the authority to do it. You're standing on the road and telling all them demons, this way. And they all go. They don't even question it. You're standing there and you're saying all the good things. Because they know. You're standing there and creating the world. You're speaking things into being. You're saying, by faith, I am healed. By faith, I am restored. By faith, my finances are settled. A few months ago, I stood and I said, Lord, this cannot be my testimony. Over the area of finances. I said, God, I'm done. I think I told you guys that story before. I was like, I'm done. You know, I was working very hard. Driving, and I was cutting my hair while driving. And I'm like, this is crazy. And the money I was making was just little, too little. We could barely make it as a family. And I was like, this is not going to be my testimony. And I got to work and I applied for another job and I got it. Listen, you can command things. You have got the authority inside of you. Maybe you're here and the devil has been intimidating. The Bible says that he roars like a lion. One thing you don't know is that he's toothless. All he has is a roar, a very huge and loud one. And like a roaring lion, he roars looking for somebody to devour. He devours us with a lie, making us believe we don't have it when we got it. Maybe you're here and you've been lied to by the enemy because circumstantially things were seemingly, there was evidence, but it was a roar. It was just loud. I want to pray with you this morning. Because again, Spirit of revelation, come and open our eyes. Spirit of revelation and truth, come and open our eyes. Spirit of revelation and truth, come and open our eyes. Let us see ourselves like you see us. Because when you look at us, you see victorious people. You see mighty warriors. You see champions. You look at the dead bones and you see an army. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And today you look at this church and you see awesome, awesome ministers and great prophetically sound people, my Father God, with true doctrine and truth, my Father God. You see miracle workers in this place. You see, Jehovah Lord Almighty, people that are prosperous in this land, mighty businessmen. You see leaders of this nation in this small church. You see greatness when you look at us. Spirit of revelation, reveal this to us. Open our eyes to see just what you see when you look at us. The potential that you see in our areas, in our lives, in our families. You see unified families and you see great warriors. Open our eyes. So if you will just lift up your hand. Father God, this morning, this afternoon, we thank you. We bless you for indeed there is no one like you. You're righteous in every way. You're perfect. And today we stand here, my Father God Almighty, standing upon the truth of your word. You are holy. Today, Father, we pray that you open our eyes like you opened the eyes of Gehazi, that he was able to see that even though it seemed as if they were surrounded, they were indeed surrounded by you. So, Lord Jesus, today it may seem as if we are surrounded, but we are surrounded by you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the power that dwells in us. How I pray that today we will choose to walk worthy of our calling. That the lie that the enemy has told us so long that we have believed it to be true. Today we just want to quiet that in the name of Jesus. We speak with that authority, my Father God Almighty, and declare that all the lie has been defeated in the mighty name of Jesus, replaced by the truth of God, replaced by the truth that we have been redeemed, that we have been chosen, that you have called us into greatness, and that you've planted in us a seed of greatness, and that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much because you are able to make us walk, to make us live, to make us experience life. As leaders that we are, as victorious as we are, as powerful as we are, in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you so much for every individual here that life has seemingly bogged down. My Father God Almighty, even as you look at their future, even as you usher them to look into their future, Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue revealing that to us slowly but surely. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, you're blessed. You is important. You are blessed. You are righteous. You are deemed holy before the Father himself. You are sinless because of the work that Jesus did you. You will never die on the cross because Jesus did for you. You are set apart. He chose you. You did not choose him. You are blessed. Father God, we thank you. I just want to continue. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Even as this revelation comes upon us, I pray that you be God to us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. We'll see you again soon. Amen.